Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for the word that you've given today, that you have beaten me to it before I've ever gotten to it, and that you have a tendency to do this, Lord God, with us all. Bless the words of my mouth to come forth in the right way, and let hearts receive as you have given. In Jesus' name, amen. It's really been kind of unfair the last couple of weeks. Heard all the people coming forward, getting praised and prayed over and so forth last week, and then hearing the words that you guys have to share this week. And I just kind of chuckled because God's gotten here first. And it's not my words, hopefully, that you're going to hear. It's things from Him. The text that we're going to use this week is what was for last week's. This is a word that God has kind of stored up for a while, and so He's going to release it today. Let's see. How should I do this? This is I do kind of participation sermons usually. The Aunt Nella's like that. I do it at Christmas.
Turn your mic up.
Yeah, ask Gary back there to do it. But we do the I have participation things. I need you guys to help me with this, and we're going to do it this way. How far, if God told you to go a certain distance, and you just heard the word of the Lord, go a certain distance, that you would just get up and go? How many people have done that? A couple of hands. How many people would go 40 miles or have done? Karen? some lukewarm responses. How about 100? Over 100.
Still having trouble hearing.
Okay. I'm just asking how far people would go if they heard the Lord say go somewhere, for some reason, would go. Would just pick up and go. Okay. We've got some people who have gone over 100. What did you expect to get when you went, Linda?
Whatever God wanted.
Okay.
No expectations.
No expectations. All right. How many people would walk 40 miles, say, up toward Jasper, if God said, get out and walk 40 miles? We're not talking driving this time. He's not telling you why. He's just telling you, get out and walk in this heat 40 miles up toward Jasper. And you get your 40 miles, you just stop on the side of the road, and I guess just wait. And I got no hands. 1, 2, 3, 5, you would? I don't know that I would. We have somebody who needs to get to church, who's in Tarrant, and somebody needs to step up and do that. It may be me. But we have in Matthew, in chapter 15, and I'll go back to 14, the end. Jesus has just walked on the water. He's fed 5,000 people. And then they came and landed at Gennesaret after they'd gotten in a boat. Now, Gennesaret is on the Sea of Galilee. He then goes, he teaches there, he's got some things that he does, and then we get over to the verses from last week. Then he went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now, if you're from here, you go up toward Jasper, it's kind of northwest. Well, that's what Jesus did. He got up and he went northwest. Now, it says in John chapter 5, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. He just got up and went. He felt God calling him and he went. I'm not convinced that Jesus was holy God and holy man, but I'm not convinced that Jesus knew exactly why he was being called to walk 40 miles. And not only did he walk 40 miles, he had a bunch of guys with him. And he had to go over a mountain range. Now, I asked Father Don, because I was counting on him being here last week, and he was. He's not this week. But I asked him how long it would take to walk 40 miles, especially going over mountains. And he said, if you're in Africa and you're in pretty good shape, probably 2 days, maybe a little bit more. So Jesus picks up because God's telling him to go to Tyre and Sidon, that area, and he's supposed to just be there and wait for whatever God's doing. If you look over in Mark, Mark has the same recollection, the same sort of passage. He says that Jesus goes into a house because he doesn't want to be seen. He doesn't want to be made known. So not only does he go the 40 miles over the mountains, but then he sort of hides. The crowd has been kind of following him and after him, and he goes inside a house. He's not out teaching somewhere. We're going to read on from here. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Who was this woman that came to him? Who was this person? If you look at the Samaritan woman at the well, you have some similarities here. First off, you have a woman, which was a problem for all the women here. You don't go to a bunch of men, especially of a different region and different people, by yourself. Instead, if there was a problem, you would send a man from your family, a brother, a husband, somebody would come and not you. Women were not very highly prized by the general population back in this time. So the first problem for this person is that she's a woman. The second thing is, because she's not with somebody, it's her. She may have a notorious past, kind of like the woman at the well in Samaria. That woman had seven husbands, and the one she was with wasn't her husband at all. Okay? When the apostles returned, or the disciples returned from that town to see Jesus in Samaria, they were astonished, just amazed that he was talking to a woman. It was bad enough that she was a Samaritan, but he was talking to a woman. We don't know exactly all the things about Samaria other than it was a kind of mixed race. People of Samaria were from the old tribes of Israel that had intermixed with the people around over time. And they worshiped God on one mountain, and the people from Judea, the people who considered themselves of the Lord, which they were worshiping at Jerusalem. And so when Jesus goes, he interacts with this woman and at the well, and he ministers to her in a way that has the whole people from her town coming to know him as Lord, as the Messiah, the one that's going to save her. This woman doesn't have that. In Mark, it says she was Syrophoenician, which means she was from Tyre and Sidon. She wasn't even a mixed anything. She was from a people of idolaters. There's a second strike against her, or maybe a third. If she was living a notorious life, she was a woman, and she was from idolaters, you have somebody who's pretty low on the totem pole. And here Jesus is drawing aside to himself in a house. And she comes and she's persistent. And it may have appeared that she was looking for this person that had been talked about, that people knew about, had healed. And she was looking for a magician that might have something that would help her daughter. And she calls him Son of David, but is that just there to win favor? And so the apostles, the disciples say, beg Jesus, send her away. They can't stand this person doing this. And Jesus' response was, I was sent to the lost house, sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She came and knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Not only does he not pay attention to her, he answers his disciples, but not her. But he says no. She's begging him on her knees, and he says no. And he even refers to her as a dog. That's tough. You look at Scripture, you're not going to find Jesus responding to people that way. There's a teaching that goes on. There's something else that goes on. That is not what happens here. This woman's not getting anywhere. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, a woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Crumbs. All she wanted was crumbs. She recognized that he had more than that. She recognized that even though she was both considered and felt like a dog, that at least if there were some crumbs that came from this man, that she would have what she needed. And when Jesus saw that, he answered her. And he said, let it be done for you as you have, as you desire. He gives her the desire of her heart and brings complete healing to her daughter. How many people here, we've talked about people who have walked or would walk a long way. How many people here have felt like all they wanted was some crumbs? I don't get too many hands up. Put them up. How many have felt this weak? Like, I just need some crumbs from you right now, Lord. All I want is some crumbs. And the hands go back up. I have. I do it daily. All I want is some crumbs. Let me show you something. We put this up because it's been consecrated. You don't get crumbs. When you come to this table, you get the whole bread. This is for you, and it's not just little pieces that you get during the week. This is not a prop for a sermon. This is the real body of Christ. It appears as bread. But you get more than crumbs. You get the whole thing.
Amen.
And that's for you. And it gets to the end of this passage. And there's healing. When you receive this, you receive healing. And you can take that healing into the world. Put this back. How many people need healing? More hands go up. How many need to take healing into the world around them to have it during their own days, just for them? Yeah. Like the hands going up. Like I said, participation. Okay. Well, you have it. You have all you need. I don't have much to add to that, except Father Don did something to me last week when he shared a word from God. And it was the second part of this. It's that first part was that you get more than crumbs. The second part, Father Don said, and we've heard about it already spoken today, was to look for those small things. There are little small things that you can do, whether it's to each other or people in the world, people at a mechanic shop, wherever you happen to be, to look for those little opportunities and say, I'm going to pray for you or pray with you. It's easier to do than you might think. Look for those little things. The whole bread that you receive may fall as crumbs into this world in ways that you don't know to people who feel like dogs. And there may be times that we feel like dogs, but we get better than that. And we can bring better than that to the world. And those are the things that the Lord has called in my heart to say to you this morning. Lord Jesus, seal the good things that you have. To know that even though we come from far places, that we're not necessarily the people of God as the original people of God. That you have things for us. That you respond even to the smallest bit of faith, even when we think we're dogs, to tell us that we're more than that. And that your body and blood bring us healing. That we receive that wherever we are. For it to live not just for today when we receive it, but through our week and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us stand.